This is God's word. Come on, say it like you mean it, church. This is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. And I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the Spirit of God that is here. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will speak through me to your people so that we just don't hear with our physical ears. We will hear with our spiritual hearts. And as we hear what you want to say to us individually and as a church, I thank you that as we activate the word today, signs, miracles, and wonders are going to follow because God always watches over his word to make sure it happens. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. For those of you who are viewing or visiting for the very first time, as you may notice, today is our annual giving day for the year. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap just for being able to give one more time? In fact, if you're visiting us for the very first or second time, can you just wave at us, visitors, visitors, visitors? Come on, give our visitors a big hand clap. Some of them kind of, you know, wave like that because they're like, is he going to ask me to sing? Back in the day, a visitor response. How many remember that? Visitor response. Yeah, I was Presbyterian. We didn't do that. You know, sometimes churches do things without explaining what they're doing and why they may be doing it. So each year I do what we call a review and a preview for our church. And I did that a couple of weeks ago. And in that review preview, what it involves is me explaining to our church a review meeting. We go backwards and we look at how well our church did ministerially and financially. And then the preview is to provide our church with information on where we're going for that year. Now, one of the reasons I do it is so our church can see that we are stewarding, and I'm stewarding as the senior pastor, I'm stewarding our church properly and with integrity. Say amen to that. Amen. See, you can be honest but not have integrity. Well, because honesty is situational based, but integrity is long term. So basically integrity is always being honest. Say amen to that. Now, I don't think, well, first of all, I know that people in the world and carnal-minded Christians typically won't even appreciate me doing a review and preview for our church. And it's because they don't have a kingdom mentality. Do you know you can be a believer and not have a kingdom mentality? Amen. And so one of the reasons that I do the review preview, of course, is for me to show accountability to our church. But at the end of the day, because I have a kingdom mindset, I realize that I'm going to have to stand before God one day and give an account as the pastor for what happened here. Say amen to that. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, they're going to put it on the screen. It says, for we, everybody say we. Now, it didn't just say me, but it says we. For we must all, everybody say all. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things that was done in his body or in the church, according to that which he has done. Watch this, church, whether it's good or bad. So don't let your focus be on what the pastor is doing or not doing, because the pastor is going to have to stand before Christ one day. What you need to worry about is what's going to happen when you stand before Christ. Amen. And so the goal of our giving Sunday today is to prayerfully raise enough money to either pay off our second mortgage, which by the way is $1.3 million, or put a big old dent in that thing. You say, well, Pastor Edmund, why is that so important? Well, the first reason it's important, because that will allow us to start saving money, watch this, for our next building project. If you didn't notice, for Easter, and actually several times this year, we've had to park across the street. Do you know that last week that parking lot was full? I saw a video where cars were not only coming down the road, it backed up all the way to 360. We ran out of parking spaces here, and you say, well, Pastor, how does that relate to our next facility? Because our next facility is going to add parking to our whole project, right? But it also is going to help us save some seats, because believe it or not, this is not our main building. Look at your neighbor and say, I didn't know that. No, this is our youth building. It's just a glorified youth building. There are two more buildings to go. And so the first reason we're having our Giving Sunday is to pay off our second mortgage. And the second reason is because I believe whenever we have an opportunity to give to God's house in a sacrificial way, I believe it will cause God to remember our house. And I'm going to prove that to you by scripture this morning. So if you're taking notes, or if you have the notes this morning, the message title is Your Giving Is Not Wasted. Your giving is not wasted. So if you're taking notes, the first point is your giving is never a waste. Everybody say, my giving is never a waste. Amen. Mark chapter 14, I'm going to read in verse 3, and I'm actually reading out of the Voice translation. It says, while Jesus was eating dinner in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came into the house, and she was carrying an alabaster flask filled with precious ointment. It was sweet-smelling ontment made from spikenard, very expensive. She came to Jesus, she broke the jar, and gently poured out the perfume on his head. Some of those around the table were troubled by this and grumbled to each other. Now, another version says some of his disciples were the one grumbling. And then this is what they said. Read this with me. Why did she waste this precious ointment? Wow. And then verse 5 says, we could have sold, and I know Judas said this because he was a thief. He says, we could have sold this ointment, watch this church, for almost a year's wages, and the money could have been given to the poor. Now, let me just stop here to point something out. This woman poured some oil or perfume on Jesus that was worth a year's paycheck. So I want you to take what you make for a whole year and imagine having to write that out in a check, giving it to the Lord. This woman gave a year's worth of wages. And then verse five, it says, their private concerns turned into public criticism against her. And then Jesus steps up and says, leave her alone. Why are you attacking her? Because that's what carnal-minded people do when they don't understand your giving. He says, she has done a good thing. Everybody say, giving is a good thing. Verse 7, the poor will always be with you, says Jesus, and you can show kindness to them whenever you want, but I won't always be with you. So let's kind of dissect this, because what Jesus said at the end of that, it completely contradicts what the world's attitude is when it comes to giving to the church. Because most churches, non-church people, and even some carnal-minded Christians, they're saying, hey, you should give your money to a church. Just give it directly to the poor people. Give it to the person on the street. But see, the problem with that is anybody you give your first to should be able to bless you, and poor people can't bless you. That's number one. Number two, how many know the first belongs to the Lord? So if I give God's first to somebody else, now I'm beginning, watch this, not only am I being a poor steward, I'm being a thief because I'm giving someone something that belongs to somebody else. Now Jesus didn't say we shouldn't help the poor. He just says he doesn't come before the poor doesn't come before him. And so he said in verse 8, she has done what she has could for me. She came and anointed my body and prepared it for the burial. Listen to verse 9. He says, believe me when I tell you that this act of hers will be told in her honor as long as there are people who tell the good news. Here it is, 2,000 years later, and we'll still talking about this lady. So listen, let me say this to you. Your giving to Christ and God's kingdom is never a waste. And this is why you must give it with a faith attitude. Here's why. Because you will never sacrifice something if you believe that what you have is more valuable than who you're giving it to. Did y'all hear that? Let me say that again. It's very difficult. This is why when it comes to giving, you have to give with a faith attitude, because you and I will never sacrifice something if we believe that what we have is more important or more valuable than who we are giving it to. Say amen to that. Everybody say, my giving is never a waste. Now here's the thing. The unfortunate thing is most people think that what we give to God doesn't even matter. And see, I don't agree with that, and scripture doesn't agree with that, because not only does what we give to God matters and how we give to God matters, listen to this, church, but what you give to the things of this world matters. I mean, if the way we give in the world matters, then what we give and the way we give to God should matter even more. Can you say amen to that? I mean, if your groceries in your grocery basket at the grocery store totaled up to $300, and you decided, I don't want to give them $300, guess what? They gonna make you put those groceries back. Amen. If your car note is $500 a month, and you decided, I don't want to give them $500, I'm going to give them $300. Well, eventually, they're going to come get your car. Let's say your cell phone bill is $175, and you decided, you know what, I'm tired of paying $175. I'm just going to pay them $100. Well, guess what? One day, you're going to pick up your phone, and it ain't going to work. Well, why is it that the world can have a standard and we adhere to those, but when it comes to God, we think he doesn't care when it comes to our financial life? Now, there's a verse I'm about to read that God was talking to the priest. Because see, what you don't know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, anybody who's teaching the word is going to be held at a higher standard than those who don't. So watch Malachi chapter 1, and I'm reading out of the easy to read version of the Bible. He says in verse 6, the Lord all-powerful said, children honor their fathers and servants honor their masters. God says, I'm your father, so why don't you honor me? He says, I'm your master, so why don't you give me some respect? Look at your neighbor and say, you need to put some respect on his name. Put some respect, respect. Watch what he says. You say, well, he don't say that, Pastor. Look at the next verse. You priests don't respect my name. Verse 7. He says, you bring unclean bread to my altar, but you ask, what makes that bread unclean? It is unclean, God says, because you show no respect for the altar of the Lord. Watch what he says they do. He says, you bring blind animals as sacrifices. And watch what he says. That's wrong. Everybody say, that's wrong. He said, you bring blind animals as sacrifices. He said, that's wrong. He says, you bring sick and crippled animals for sacrifices. And that's wrong. Everybody say, that's wrong too. He says, watch what he says. This is interesting. God's kind of, you know, I could tell he's kind of upset when he was writing this. He says, try to give those sick animals as a gift to your governor and see if he'll accept that. Everybody say, what we give matters. Remember Cain and Abel? We know the story. You know, if God didn't care about what we gave and how we gave it, he would have accepted Cain and Abel's gift. Amen. But in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 out of the New Living Translation, this is what happened. It says, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, but the best portions of the first, listen to what Abel brought. He brought a gift, and it was the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. Watch this now. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. Why? Because God is not obligated to take anything we decide to give him. And see, if we don't watch it, we'll take that world's attitude and be like, you know what? I can just do what I want to do. Well, that's just like going to the grocery store and saying, I know you want 300. I'm going to give you 200. They're going to say, well, you need to take out $100 worth of groceries. Amen. So let's jump in here to point number two, because your giving can cause God to remember you. Now, this is where I'm going to spend some time here. That's point number two. Your giving can cause God to remember you. Listen, the way you give to God can cause God to remember you. And I don't know about you, but I need God to remember me when I need to be remembered. Look in Mark chapter 14, verse 6. Because as we give today, I believe prophetically, there are a lot of you who are giving, and your giving is sacrificial, and it's going to cause God to remember you when you need to be remembered. Watch Mark chapter 14. Let's go back to it, because we're going back to the story of the lady who gave Jesus this ointment. But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? He says, you will always have the poor among you, but you can, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me with you. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. Then he says, watch this now, I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be what, church? Come on, church. It will be what? It will be remembered and discussed. In other words, Jesus said, the way this lady gave to me, because what she did was sacrificial, I'm going to remember her in such a way that people are going to be talking about her years from now. Look at this now, because this principle of God remembering us when we give is in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. And here's why I need you to get this, because there are going to be some times this year where you're going to need God to remember you. Here it is, you're going to be stepping out to buy a house that God's leading you to buy, and you don't have all the money with you. And that's when you're going to need God to remember you. Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Sounds like he was a member of the mafia. I'm just kidding, he wasn't. He says he was a devout man. And Cornelius is one who feared God with all of his house. Watch this, church. And he gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. So he gave and he prayed. Everybody say he gave and he prayed. Now watch verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. And he says, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, watch this, read this with me, church. Your prayers and your alms are come up for what? For what? For a memorial before God. He would say, listen, Cornelius, your giving and your praying has come up before God. And I'm telling you, church, what you're giving today, I believe, is going to trigger a time that God's going to remember you when he needs to. When somebody else has forgotten you, God's going to remember you. Joseph was put in prison, and he told the guy who he gave a prophetic dream to, he said, listen, this is what's going to happen. Listen, and when you get out of here, remember me. They didn't. Listen now, I'm going to show you one more verse. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Now, let me give you who this is. This was Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel, who became a prophet. Now, initially, she couldn't get pregnant. And so she got frustrated, and then the other wives of this man were teasing her. And so finally it says now in verse 9, once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. Watch verse 11. And she made this vow. Let me stop here, because vows work. What I don't want you to do is vow a vow and don't keep it. Well, she vowed a vow. Well, let's see what this vow was. Oh, Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow, and if you will answer my prayer, and if you will give me a what, church? And give me a son. Watch what she says. Then when? After you answer my prayer and after you give me a son, she says, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Now, I'm going to keep reading, though. We're going to jump down to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. I'm reading now out of the New Living Translation because I want you to see what happened after she made this vow. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah, her husband, slept with Hannah, read it with me, church, the Lord what? Come on, church, the Lord what? The Lord remembered her. In due time, she gave birth to a what? To a son. She named him Samuel. And then, of course, if you know the story, after she weaned him, she took him back to the temple and she left him there. What's my point? When God saw that she was going to give her son back to him, watch this, he remembered her. And I don't know about you, but there's some seed that's being put in the ground by the Connor family today that I need God to remember me. See, our giving today is not a loan to God. See, some people, they'll give to the Lord and be happy when they get it back. Why should I be happy? It's like I loaned the Lord some money. Listen, the only time the Lord says he'll pay you back is when you give to the poor. But when it comes to giving, he says when you and I give, we don't just get it back. He said it's supposed to come in a good measure. It's supposed to come shaken together. It's supposed to come running over, that men will give. So when you and I give, when this is over and above, when this is sacrificial, it's not him trying to just give it back. He's supposed to give it back in a multiplied way. Say amen to that. Recently, one of the families here at Word of Truth experienced several deaths in their family around the same time. As a matter of fact, the dad of the husband died, and on the same day, the sister of the wife died. And the unfortunate thing is none of these relatives had life insurance. So this Word of Truth family that have learned to use these principles of financial increase to benefit their life, God had, you know, given them, they were in a blessed state, and so they had to come out of a lot of money. Now think about it. You're having to fund three different people's deaths at the same time. And so yesterday, as I was putting some touches on my message, this particular point right here, the Lord said, stop, call that family right now and give them a prophetic word. And this prophetic word that God put in my heart to tell them is the prophetic word he wants me to tell you. So I called them up and I got them on the phone and I say, hey, listen, the Lord wants me to tell you something. I say, but before I tell you, I need to tell you a story. Now this story, most of you hopefully will know the story, but if not, I'm going to repeat the story. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, so I'm going to tell you again. So when we started this building project, before they let us do anything other than the plans and stuff, they wouldn't let us do any construction until we relocated some telephone poles that was out there in the front. See, before we, you know, put the building up, there were several telephone poles. And so I designed our driveway, I actually had two different driveways. I had one, on this side, and I had one coming on this side. So, you got some coming in, you got some going out. They didn't go for that. They said, no, Mr. Connor, Pastor Connor, we need you to remove and relocate those telephone poles. I'm like, but we don't own the telephone poles. Y'all own the telephone poles. They said, we know we own it, but we need you to move it. And it cost $50,000 to remove and move those telephone poles. I didn't like that. So I'll never forget, I'm explaining to my pastor and his wife, but I really wasn't explaining, I was complaining. How many know what I'm talking about? So I'm complaining and I'm telling them, here it is, the city owned these telephone poles and they got us moving these telephone poles and it cost $50,000 to move these telephone poles. And my pastor's wife said something to me that has never allowed me to look at things the same. She looked at me and she said, son, thank God you had the $50,000 to move the poles. And I said to this family, there are two ways you can look at what happened to y'all. You can look at it as, man, we ain't gonna never get that money back. Everybody in our family broke except for us. You can look at it like that and wish that money goodbye forever. Or you can take the faith attitude that says, you know what, God? Thank God we had the money to give it. Because see, anytime, that's right, go ahead and clap right there. Thank God. See, and some of y'all need to adjust your attitude. My car broke down. It cost me $5,000 to get it fixed. But you had the $5,000. What if you broke it? It broke it. You didn't have the money. See, if you don't watch it, you will have a fear-based attitude when you should have a faith one. So I told this family, I said, listen, what you need to do is have a faith-based attitude that says, well, thank God we had the money. And the Bible says in Colossians 3 that if we do what we do as unto the Lord and not unto men, then the Lord's going to reward us for doing that. I say, so all you got to do is remember, you did that as unto the Lord and not unto your family. And God, guess what? God said he will reward you for that. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you today, church, that if you will have a faith-based attitude when it comes to your giving today, what it's going to do when it's necessary is that it's going to trigger God to remember you. And I don't know about you, but there are going to be times where you're going to need God to remember you in ways that nobody else can. Which brings me now to our third point, and that is what you give matters. Everybody say, what I give, it matters. In Mark chapter 14, let's go back to the story again. Jesus said about this woman, she has done what she could for me. She came and anointed my body. So church, as you give today, make it about what you're giving, not about what you don't have to give. Oh, I'm going to rewind that one because I don't think you got it. Here we go. Let's try that again. Today, as you give, make your giving about what you're giving, not about what you don't have to give. Because a lot of times what we do is focus on what we don't have instead of focusing on what we do have. Say amen to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in the NIV version, I'm starting in verse 9. Paul said, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he for our sake became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. So let me just say this. That's not just spiritual riches he's talking about right there. So watch this. Jesus did a spiritual exchange for us. We were on our way to hell. He died and shed his blood. And that exchange caused us now to be righteous and to be able to go to heaven. Say amen to that. So if we can take that spiritual exchange, why not take this financial exchange? He said, you know what? I was rich, but I became poor, so you won't have to be poor no more. Amen. Watch verse 10. He says, and here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. He says, last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Watch what he says in verse 11. Now, because you had that desire, he says, now finish the work. Go ahead and do what you said you was going to do. He says, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. Watch verse 12. He says, for if the willingness is there, the willingness to give, then the gift is acceptable. Watch this. According to what one has, not according to what they do not have. Listen to the New Living Translation of that verse. He says, whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. See, a lot of times, church, we make giving about what we don't have or how much we can't give, when we need to have faith for what we're giving. Sometimes I believe we're trying to convince God that if he'll bless us in a big way, we'll give in a big way. When what we're doing currently is showing God how much he can bless us with, and we're already showing him how he can trust us. See, God is not looking at how much you are giving. Listen, he's looking at how much it's costing you. Oh, he's not looking at how much you've given. He's looking at what it's costing you. Because see, you can give a lot, but if you, let's say you give, you know, $100,000, boy, that looks like a lot. Not if you're a billionaire. So he's not looking at just what you give. He's looking at what it's costing you. Look at now, Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Cause I'm going to show you, Jesus really pays attention to what we're doing with this money. Watch now in verse 41. I'm reading out of New Living Translation. It said, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple, and he watched as the crowds dropped in their money. And many rich people, everybody say rich people, many rich people put in large amounts. But then a poor widow came, and she dropped in two small coins. And Jesus called his disciples to him, and he says, hey, I tell you the truth. See that poor widow? She has given more than all the others who have made contributions. He said, watch this. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. See, this lady's amount may not have been big, watch this though, but it definitely cost her something. You know why? Because she gave everything she had. Here's another, 2 Samuel chapter 24. We're talking about giving costing you something. Because a lot of times, no one knows your financial state but you. And this is why I believe if we all obey God at the level of where we are, I believe that God will do what he wants to do in the house. And because, see, everybody's sacrifices may be different. Watch this. So let me tell you what happened. David disobeyed God. He numbered the people. And God said, you know what? I don't want you to do that. But he did it anyway. And when he did it, a curse came and the people started dying. And David realized, man, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, forgive me. And so this prophet came. And so in verse 17, it says, and David spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel smote all the people. And he says, oh, I have sinned. I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? He says, let thy hand, I pray, be against me and my father's house. And so Gad, who was a prophet, came that day to David and said to him, go up and I want you to rear up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arona the Jebusite. In other words, he said, listen, you need to prepare a sacrifice to the Lord. And so in verse 19, it says, and David, according to the saying of Gad the prophet, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arona looked and saw the king was coming. And Arona went out and bowed himself before the king on the face and put his face upon the ground. And Arona said, oh, it's my lord the king. He's come to his servant. And David said, listen, I came to buy some threshing floor from you to build an altar to the Lord so that the plague may stop from the people. And then Arona said, oh, say King David, let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Behold, here's some oxen for a burnt sacrifice. Here's some threshing instruments. In other words, this man said, listen, I got everything you need to do an offering. And you can take it. It's yours. Verse 23 says, and all these things did Arona as the king. He says, I will give it to the king. Watch now. Verse 24. King David said, nope, I will surely buy this stuff from you at a price. He said, because neither will I offer a burnt offering unto the Lord my God if it didn't cost me nothing. So regardless of what level of sacrifice you have, the question I have for you is it costing you something? Say amen to that. Amen. Listen, Jesus viewed what this lady gave as the most because she gave everything she had. So there are three ways to give. I'm closing. Touch your neighbor. Say, he closing. There are three ways to give. The first way is to purpose in your heart. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 in the New Living Translation. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a what kind of crop, church? A generous crop. You must decide where, church? Where? You must decide in your heart, read it with me, how much to give. So the first way that when it comes to giving is you decide in your heart. Here's the second way. You can pray and ask God what he wants you to give. Now, what's interesting is I really haven't found any account in the Bible where someone asked the Lord what he wanted them to give. I ain't really read that. What I have read is that there are times where God wanted them to do something. Now, the Bible says in all your ways acknowledge him and he would direct your path. So here's my encouragement to you. If you don't have faith to obey, don't do number two. Well, you say, what do you mean, Pastor? Because if you ask the Lord what he wants you to give, and he tells you, and you don't do it, you just disobeyed him, so anything you give after that is in disobedience. So just do number one, purpose in your heart. But if you got faith, see, here's what I've learned about God. God knows my life. He knows what's around the corner. He knows what's coming down years from now. He knew I would run into a bad situation, and so he released a lady named Charisse. Evan's gonna go through a hard time. Release. Release Charisse. And see, I trust God enough that I don't care what he tells me, I'm gonna do it. Now, I don't have time for this, but I'm going to give it anyway. I haven't told this one in a long time. This is a very controversial testimony. So this is years ago. I was sitting in church, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to give everything in my bank account, everything, savings. And this is back in the day when we didn't have internet. I mean, it was the internet, but we didn't have, like, log on. No, you had the dial in the bank. And then you had to put in your check number to see if it cleared. How many understand what I'm saying? Absolutely. If you don't know, don't worry about it. You got it made. So after getting on the phone, checking all these checks that I had wrote and made sure they cleared, I needed to get a balance of what I knew what was in the account. So I put all the savings, I put it into the checking, and I wrote a check. And I wrote it trembling and trusting. I'm like, I don't know what the Lord is telling me to do. He ain't never told me to give everything. So some people be like, God won't tell you to give everything. That's a lie. Because you sure told me to do it. And I did it, right? And I just, oh my God, I was like, Lord. And it was on a Sunday. And we got paid like I got paid again on that Thursday. So I just needed to make it to Thursday. Well, thank God at the time I had a company car and they paid for my gas. So gas was taken care of. So I'll never forget my pastor was going to speak somewhere that Sunday evening. So I was going to go hear him and, we needed to eat something. I didn't have time to go get something. I mean, to cook, you know, cause I don't know how to cook anyway. So after the service, after giving everything, a member comes up and says, Elder Evan, I don't know, for some reason God told me to give you this $20. I was like, that was God right there. That was God right there. I didn't tell them why now. They don't know I done gave everything. I took that $20 was like $2,000. I was thinking, okay, I got to pay my tithe. I have to give an offering. I got $17 left to make it to Thursday. So I was like, okay, I got to deposit that check. I'll do it on Monday, because at that time they didn't have ATM deposit. You only got money from the ATM. So I go to the ATM to get some money out, and I was going to get the 17 out, right? And I go in there and I put my check card in, and I punched in $20. I punched in $10, but $20 came out. It's like, I know I punched in 10. So I get the receipt, and the receipt said 10. But 20 came out. I was like, the Lord is good. Praise God. So I walked out of that gas station real fast. The Lord remembered me. So then when I got in the car, I was thinking, you know what? We was going to go and, you know, Burger King, that dollar meal. We going to Kentucky now. I'm going to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then I thought about it. I was like, I wonder, will that do that again? So I went back into the gas station. I went back to the same ATM machine. I punched in 10, 20 came out. I punched in 10, 20 came out. I punched in 10, 20 came out. I kept punching. I sure did. Punch, 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 10, 10, 20, 20, 20, 20. Boy, I left out of there with a whole lot of money to last me through the rest of the week and some more. Right? He said, well, Pastor, that's stealing. I don't know, because I don't think it happened to the person behind me. They didn't walk out of there funny, I'm telling you. Maybe that's from all the fees the bank had always charged me. I don't know. I mean, the children of Israel walked out of Egypt with all of their neighbors' gold and stuff. Same thing. But I believe my act of obedience, listen to me, church, has caused God to remember me in difficult times. Say amen to that. So you can pray and ask God what he wants you to give, but if you don't have faith to obey him, don't ask him. Here's number three. If you're married, you agree with your spouse on what amount to give. That's what First Lady and I did. We just decided. Actually, she was like, babe, just tell me what we want us to give, and we'll just go with that number. I was like, that's faith. So here's what I did. Because, you know, the Lord didn't give me no number. Just so y'all know, he ain't gave me no number. He still ain't gave me no number. Right? So I do number one, our purpose in our heart. So I said, you know what? What I am going to do is give more than I did last year. Amen. So whatever we gave last year, we're going to give more. So because I'm leading you all as a pastor, and so you all will know that I obey what I teach, I'm going to tell you what I'm giving. You ain't got to tell me what you're giving. I'm just telling you. Let me see what it say on here. Okay. Our giving total is $13,000. Y'all give me and First Lady a big hand clap, because we could use the $13,000. I just want you to know that. So here's a take-home statement, and I'm closing. You must learn to give by what you say you live by. I'm going to say that again. You must learn to give by what you say you live by. That's how you say it right there. I'm going to say it one more time. You must learn to give by what you say you live by. The Bible says the just shall live how? The just shall live by faith. So if we say we live by faith, we must also learn to give by faith. Matthew chapter 4, when the devil came to Jesus, it says he was led up as the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he came and he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him and said, if you be the Son of God, he says, I want you to command these stones to be made bread. Watch verse 4. Jesus answered and said to him, notice Jesus answered the devil. He says, it is written, man shall not what? Live by bread alone, But man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So listen to this. You can't consistently live by the natural, but expect to get results from the supernatural. See, living by bread alone produces results from your hand alone. I'm going to say that again. Living by bread alone only produces results from your hand alone. In other words, living by faith causes God to put super on top of your natural. Giving by faith causes you to experience God's favor, his prosperity, his increase, and his blessings in a supernatural way. And I don't know about you, I don't want to live a normal life, because if I was going to do that, I shouldn't have got saved. No, I want to live a supernatural life. I want to live an abnormal life. I want to have the kind of life that people be like, I wonder what he's doing. So I have a confession that I want us to do over what we're giving today. So I want you to stand up. Stand up right where you are. Stand up right where you are. Stand up right where you are. They're going to put the confession on the screen, but I want you to say it after me. And this confession lines right up with not only what I just taught, but it lines up with God remembering you, because I'm telling you prophetically, church, what you're putting in the ground today is going to trigger God to remember you. So I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, today I'm giving my offering by faith as I give. My expectation is from you. I'm expecting you to watch over your word to perform it. I'm expecting you to multiply my seed that I'm sowing. I'm expecting you to do exceedingly and abundantly above what I could ask or imagine. I'm expecting you, Father, to open the doors that I could not open. I'm expecting you to pour out favor on me that I couldn't pour on myself. I'm expecting you to prosper me, to bless me, to increase me, to promote me to levels I've never experienced. I expect you to bless and prosper everything that is connected to me. Prosper and bless me. Prosper and bless my businesses. Prosper and bless my children. Prosper and bless my job. Prosper and bless my family. I'm expecting you to rebuke the devourer from touching my stuff, from destroying anything that I have. And I declare this and I believe this in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're expecting God to do something, just give him a praise. Hallelujah. So listen, with every head bowed, listen what I want. I felt to do something. I didn't know how I was going to do it, because some of us have given electronically, and that's fine. I want you.